And welcome, everyone, to episode 13 of Conversations with Kregel. I am your host, Jonathan Kregel. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen. If you could, take a moment right now to pause the video here and or audio and go out and subscribe so you don't miss any of the episodes. Also, if you could, give a like. And if you could go back to the previous 12 episodes that included interviews with CrossFit athlete Carissa Stapp. Congratulations, Carissa, on qualifying for another CrossFit quarterfinals with a great showing about a month ago in the CrossFit Open. Also, an interview with Jason Marlowe. And until this one, the most recent one was with JT and Erica Thompson, who, again, congratulations, just completed the Chuckanut 50K race. Erica's second time doing that and JT's first. And really proud of all the efforts of each of these folks. And so give a listen and go back and like those on your particular platform. They help my numbers, certainly help get the reach out to further, to more people who may be interested in listening to this podcast. I have a special guest, special set of guests today that I interviewed. They are CrossFit athletes, former college athletes, married couple, parents of Ripken and Riley, and owners of CrossFit I Love It, the gym that I've attended since January of 2013. Today you're going to have a chance to listen to part one of two of my interview with Matt and Kaylee Lovelady. And we had a great conversation. I know you'll really enjoy the thoughtful answers that they gave to my questions. By way of a little background, when I was preparing for the interview, I have a list of probably 10 pages of different questions in different formats. And Kaylee, being very prepared and wanting to be prepared, and was quite nervous, actually, to do the interview, and I assured her that we would have a great time. I sent her about 3 pages of questions, and the response was a little bit funny, but it just shows how much she cares about everything that she does, and Matt also the same way. We didn't cover 3 or 10 pages of questions, but we covered some really good ground. In this first part, we're going to talk about the things like the early beginnings, the first time that Matt and Kaylee ever experienced CrossFit and the CrossFit methodology, where they were, their experience of coming out, leaving college as Division I athletes. And I won't spoil it. You'll have to listen to the interview to see where they went to school and what sports they played. But we talked about that and then kind of their journey to CrossFit, their journey to where they are here in Linden, how they got to CrossFit I Love It. And then we talk a little bit about their experience of doing CrossFit competitively and then running the gym and so forth. In part two, there is even more conversation that we get into, but I wanted to make sure to get this first part, about a half an hour of talk that we did, and I really, really am happy. There was very little editing, and most times I try to minimize the editing on a audio or a podcast, and mostly it's to take out ums and, you know, long pauses that kind of reduce the flow, or maybe a place where I talk maybe a little bit more than need be and to keep that flow of that interview, of those that are being interviewed, going. This one was easy, and I think you're going to be really pleased and really happy to learn about these two wonderful people, people who are very special to me and in my life journey. So without further ado, again, if you could, like, follow, subscribe, share it with your friends, share it on your social media pages. You can certainly go and look for Conversations with Kregel on Instagram. We also have YouTube that we're going to be pushing all of the episodes to. Also, share the with your favorite your friends and family the favorite podcast area, whether it's Apple or Spotify or wherever, and try to grow this out so we can get more ears listening to these wonderful people. Without further ado, here is my interview from about a couple weeks ago or maybe a month ago with Matt and Kaylee Lovelady. Enjoy, everybody. And welcome, everybody. We are in episode 2 now of Conversations with Craigle. We've changed the ways. You had heard previously, Alicia Craigle is no more. It is, but regardless, Conversations with Craigle, I'm here with special guests, Matt and Kaylee Lovelady. Say hello to the audience.
Hello.
Hello.
I like Conversations with Craigle. It's that name.
Sounds more gentle, right? So Matt and Kaylee are owners of CrossFit. I love it. I've known them for Matt since 2012 and Kaylee 2013-ish, I believe. Mm-hmm. And you have people that are important in your life. And when you consider the five groups or people that are important in my life, I would definitely put them in one of the five for so many important reasons for health, for life, for... And we'll get into that. You don't want to hear Craigle talk. That's for another episode. But we're going to get right into it. So one of the things I want to do a little administrative, we're not going to talk much about background with you guys because I'm going to point people to your bios. You have fantastic CrossFit, I Love It bios out on the website. So I'm going to link to that. We will get into talking about some background. But first of all, we're going to just take a little breath here. Okay. Now we're ready to go. Okay. So... the first question is, why CrossFit?
Why? Are you asking me?
I am. Okay. Neither one of you. Yeah. Why CrossFit? Let's just get into that.
Well, I did my first CrossFit workout in Salt Lake City, Utah, at Salt Lake City CrossFit, and I loved the whole methodology and fitness part of it.
And that was when? Do you approximate?
That was 2010.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've been
I don't know what part of the year it was exactly. I can't remember that detail, but it was in 2010 and I felt like I was pretty fit. And this is probably a classic thing you hear a lot of people say is, yeah, I thought I was fit. And then I went and did CrossFit. It's like, whoa, I've got a lot of work to do.
And you being a former baseball player at
University of Oklahoma.
And you were
junior college before that, but that's where I finished.
Yeah. Pitcher?
Yep.
Starting pitcher?
At Oklahoma, no. But before that, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were an athlete. We're all athletes, but you were at the highest level, really.
In college?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
I played independent ball, very short.
But... so you fell in love with it in 2010 when you first kind of got...
yeah, and the reason why...
that come to Glassman moment.
Yeah. The reason why is the methodology. So just, what it is and being fit in all these different domains and time frames. I'm not even going to say exactly what it is because for anybody listening, you should just go do it and try it. And then the community part of it. It was just like, wow, I could create my own culture here with CrossFit and opening a gym. I love the methodology. I believe in it. And the more that I listen to Greg Glassman he's got so many videos on YouTube where he's standing in front of a whiteboard talking to people about this elegant solution to what's going on in both our society when it comes to fitness and just other things, us interacting with each other. Mm-hmm. That got me. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, this is it. I'm going to go for this.
Say, you're up. Why CrossFit?
Why CrossFit? Are you talking about doing it or coaching it or just
whatever
in general?
Like your first introduction.
Yeah. So when I finished college, I did track and field at WCU, Go Cougs. always. And I spent probably, I graduated in 2007, and I spent about the next 3 years kind of just really being like, oh, I'm gonna run a marathon. Ran a half marathon. I was like, I don't know if this is for me. I'm gonna like get really into yoga and Pilates. You know, I tried just like a whole host of different things, kind of looking for like, man, like, what am I doing next here? How am I gonna, you know?
And was that tied to because you're coming off of being a triple jumper, right?
Yeah, and I was.
We're sitting in your office, so I see you too. So you were a triple jumper for.
Yes. Tricks. Yeah. Okay. And it's not something that you really, it's just, it's hard on your body. It's really hard on your joints, knees. Not something like you're just going to casually like carry on with after that. Like you're kind of,
you know, but you had to find something.
Yeah. I kind of was looking for something. Right. I think there's some other sports and stuff that you can do in a more casual way, but I'm pretty sure long and triple jump ain't it. so I just been, and I just couldn't really find anything. And then I saw a gym and I stopped by a CrossFit gym, and it was July of 2010. And I did my first workout, and I was like hooked. Mm. I was like, this is so challenging and so fun. And there's like a group of people. There's just like, I was just like so intrigued by it. And I was like, oh, I feel like, you know, I really like maybe found something that I'm going to really love here. And then I've been doing it ever since. So, you know.
Do you remember, I think I asked you guys last night to prep a question, but did you ever get a chance to think about what you kind of recall what your first workout had or was? What movements were in it?
I'm pretty sure my first workout was thrusters and pull-ups. Mm-hmm. And it was either Fran or it was some...
Benchmark?
It was some, you know, combo of those movements. But it was thrusters and pull-ups. And I was just so surprised. I'd never really done a thruster before.
Yeah.
You remember? I don't remember exactly what it was, but I know there was wall balls. I remember distinctly doing wall balls. I don't remember... what else exactly it was paired with, or with a time domain, or anything else it was like. But I remember there was wall balls.
So it's funny. I actually, you both been involved in it. Did you do when was the first time you did the Open, CrossFit Open? Do you remember the year?
It was 2012 at Jogo, and I loved it. It was so fun.
Throwback to Jogo, and Jogo was M. Hester's.
Yeah,
right. Shout out to M. Hester.
Yeah.
G right there.
I started the Open in 2011, so I've done them all. I started the first year that the Open was a thing.
Great. Which is my next question.
It was 6 weeks long, if you don't remember that.
What was the very first
workout? Oh, yes, double unders and power snatches. It was a light power snatch and double unders, and it was devastating, and I loved it. And I've done every Open since then, even through... both my pregnancies. Some were more competitive than others, but this will be my 14th CrossFit Open this year.
I actually was looking good just because Dave Castro was talking about kind of returning back to the classic CrossFit for this Open. That's kind of the clues he's been giving, is it's going to be beautiful and effective and unique. And I thought, what was the first? Sure enough. Good for you.
Yeah.
Trivia question.
We've actually repeated that workout a couple times in here. I would say within, you know, over the last years, but we definitely have done it within the last year. So I think it'd be super cool if they brought back the first Open WOD ever.
Yeah.
And they repeated that because they haven't, I don't believe, and they have to check me on this, but I don't believe they've ever repeated any workouts from 2011.
Yeah,
I don't think any of the repeats have been. I think you're right.
Yeah.
But I'd have to maybe the thruster chest bar one.
And then you actually, so you got into it, but you got really into it because didn't you went to regionals then like a year later.
I did. The, in 2011. Yeah. So I started in July, and then the Open was February. So July 2010, Open was February of 2011. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, like, I'm all in on this. This is going to be great. Like, I want to do it. And there happened to be another guy at the gym who was super competitive. Shout out to Connor. Mm. And we both ended up making our regional that year. And that was super fun to be able to kind of do that together. I mean, I still feel like I didn't really know what I was doing. And it was like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
You know, you have no idea because it's never been done before. And it just was kind of a very like surprise that I got to move on and go do that. Cause you're almost like learning about it as you're doing it.
As
like
doing
it's the
it.
Open. Oh, wait, there's another thing. oh, if you do this, oh, I got to go do that. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know, and it was very OG, like.
You did ever feel, so the thing you always hear more and more is CrossFit's dangerous or was dangerous. Was there ever a point, just open, you know, just open season here, that it ever felt dangerous to you?
No, definitely or not.
To you?
Yes.
It did.
For me, it didn't. Yeah. And I don't know if that's, I feel like I had a really good connection with like what I, where I was at with things, and what I could and couldn't do. I could definitely force some stuff that maybe I could have had a better base leading up to. And a lot of it is, you know, I obviously didn't start CrossFit at CrossFit. I love it. Matt opened this gym in 2013 and I started somewhere else. And I would say, like, looking back, there could have been a lot of different things done coaching wise to maybe set me up with a better base. But I did have a base as an athlete. So I felt like I had a pretty
good danger really in CrossFit, was it really the application of it, whether it was through coaching? So proper coaching, because you guys just came from a coaching
meeting.
and that's the one thing that's so valuable, I would say, is you take seriously the movement, the coaching, the et cetera. So the CrossFit in itself isn't dangerous. It's the application of it, like anything.
You have to administer it properly.
Right.
And some people are more difficult than others. Some people have a good connection with where they're at, and some people don't. And it's your job to identify that and help bridge that connection for them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think the, you know, the benefits far outweigh the risk. I would, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So that actually brings, go ahead. Sorry, Matt.
I was saying yes to what you just explained, not yes to, so I'm glad you explained that. Cause,
well, yeah. did you, I mean, because I've watched how it's gone here, and if it was ever dangerous for me, it was, I wasn't honest with the coaches or with myself where I was at, so I put myself in harm's way. No different than being honest that I can't pilot an airplane. I'm gonna get an airplane and I'm going to crash it because I'm not being honest and with that. So
yeah, and there, that's a good example, because it's what an incredible vehicle, you know, an airplane, to be able to go from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. But also things can go wrong, right?
Right. Yeah.
So, and I think that's a, that's pretty good, because CrossFit is truly incredible if the method, if you do it according to how it is supposed to be done. And that takes good coaching. It takes somebody that is, it has a connection with where they're at, even for that day. Right? Even for that day, meaning, you know, how much sleep did you get? You know, where's your nutrition been, and all of that. And for me, where... I don't think dangerous is even the right word. So I'm kind of thinking that, you know, maybe yes wasn't my, I didn't mean that.
Sure.
But I had a couple of hip surgeries. And after those surgeries, I'm coming back into CrossFit and training. And my connection is probably still a little bit with how I was before the surgeries, meaning with how I got back into it and my pace.
And it should be noted, those surgeries were something that you'd been dealing with since pitching, that weren't, the ones weren't really related to CrossFit.
They weren't related to CrossFit.
Right.
So just to, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not, that wasn't meant to be a leading question, because I actually have spent a lot of time hearing and thinking, and you hear so much about that. Yet, I mean, my story with you guys, I came in here and had high triglycerides, high blood pressure, was going to be on statins, was on the verge of, in a bad way. And yet today, I'm healthy as a horse. And it's because all the things I got exposed to in the CrossFit gym, all the proper coaching, that when it was time to pump the brakes and John said, no, I don't want to pump the brakes, I was told to pump the brakes anyway, and it was better for me. And so I would attest that it's not dangerous. It's dangerous if you go in with an ego. If you go in listening and you have coaches that care, like you guys clearly do, it's just obvious that you do. And by the way, shout out CrossFit. You need to come and do some stuff with CrossFit. I love it, because they're doing it the right way.
Well, that's what I was going to say is it's very hard to do that here. With all, we have about 10 coaches here right now that are coaching for us. And it's very, we make it tough for people to engage into the workout from that ego, mm-hmm. right? You know, because we believe we're professionals and we're doing it the right way. And mm-hmm. we're making people learn the technique of the movements and show that consistently before we add load mm-hmm. and make sure that the workout is going to be appropriate for them and where they're at.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, I love you guys for it because I'm able to do what I do because of that. And that's been so valuable. Okay, so let's talk about, I would say what keeps you coming back to the CrossFit gym, but you guys own it, so that's not a good question. so let's shift to a different question. One of the themes here at CrossFit, I love it, has been get 1% better every day. What does 1% mean? We'll start with you.
1%.
What is 1%?
Better? Yeah, I think it's finding you can always have, to me, a win for the day. That one thing that you're going to improve on. You're going to get better at something. Maybe you're not feeling great. Maybe you're not winning with any PRs with load. Maybe you're not getting any new skill that day. But sometimes just the way that you approach something or attack something or the way that you add intensity to a lesser load, or there's just always something that you can win at. There's always something that you can focus on for that day to maybe even just executing a certain way that you want to do the workout, you know, and that can be your win. And if you can continue to find those, that thing that you're going to commit to that and you're going to get better at that. It's not going to be the same thing every day, but over time, like that power of tiny gains, you're going to see a lot of progress. You're going to be consistent. You're going to be able to meet yourself where you're at and be like, hey, what do I need? What do I need to focus on today? Like, where's my win going to be? Because it's not always going to be in load. It's not always going to be in your score. You know, there's a lot of other things that come to it. So I think just broadening your mind of what your success in the gym can look like day to day. There's a lot of different options besides, you know, the RX on the board or, you know, whatever that might be.
Matt, what's 1% for you?
Just more of what Kaylee just said, this, the power of tiny gains. It is very powerful. And when it's exponential, so just that realization, if you have a goal, a big goal in mind, something, we're going to dream, something that you want to achieve. But the chances might seem slim, or it just might be a lot. And there's a big gap from where you are and where that goal or that dream is. But if you can attack it a little bit at a time, and it's almost like the, you know, how to eat an elephant, right? Just
one bite at a time.
One bite at a time, baby.
Yeah.
Well, and Kaylee brings up a good point. Like, just because, so you know, let's say you're all beat up and you don't really want to show up for the day because you're not going to be able to push more than you did yesterday. So you can't get your 1% there. You feel like, well, that doesn't mean you don't show up.
Right.
You can grab a 1% better from getting started and having some discipline. And then that discipline ball is rolling, and that's getting more exponential growth.
Yeah. Right?
Or the nutrition or the recovery or whatever. It's, you know, we're getting 1% better holistically. That's not where the one originally came from, but it's something that we definitely have done and thought of that one about as a, you know, since the beginning, you know, something we could apply it to and hear and help people. Because see,
like
a lot of people that come
thing,
in, they come of, in and work
know?
Really hard, and they're like, all right, I want to be there now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because when you guys came out with 1% better, I was working on one of my books, and the 1% I heard was the British cycling coach. They were always terrible. And he went in and said, how do we get better? And they looked at everything, just like you just described. They looked at nutrition, sleep. What were they sleeping on? What kind of bed? They looked at everything. So it wasn't just the workout, which we can get, especially in CrossFit, we can get locked into our PRs and that. But it's, are we getting better? Are we coming in when we wouldn't normally? Like, oh, I don't feel good today. Come in anyway, unless you're sick or have COVID. But other than that, come in because that's that discipline that you wouldn't normally do that'll make you a better person. So it is interesting. I actually just got done with a book. One of my goals was a guy by the name of Ed Milette, really good motivational speaker, had a book called The Power of One More. And it was, the idea was make one more phone call, do one more rep, do one more hour of sleep, whatever it is, do one more, and you'll be better exponentially. So shout out to Ed Milette. I'll put the link in the, it's a great book. If you don't do books, listen to the audio. All right, so let's talk. I'm going to shift gears on you guys. We've talked a little bit about that. Actually, what led you to open CrossFit I Love It? We talked a little bit of history, but what led you to open up in Philly?
I was pretty far along the path to opening an affiliate in Salt Lake City in 2011. And my mom and dad lived in Everson. My dad's in fiber optic work and had been for years, and manages building out infrastructure. Mm. And he was working across the border, so they kind of settled down in Everson, bought a place, and he was on a long job across the border, Canada. So I came out to visit a few times, loved it out here. And he reached out to me and said, okay, you know, you're single. I've seen you once a year since you were 18. Why don't you come move out here and do that out here? You love it out here. You know, I think like a week later, I had packed up my stuff and cut my ties. Me and my dog and all my stuff in my truck drove out here. And then that was the plan. I came out here and I started working at Homestead, looking for a way to make some money. And that led to me, Homestead, the golf and country club, but also fitness center, which is where I met you.
Right, right.
And I started training young athletes. And, you know, that's because that's, I played baseball at University of Oklahoma, mm-hmm. and did a strength conditioning internship, trained some athletes there. And then when I left there, I kept that with me. Wherever I did, whatever job I did, wherever I moved to, which is all over the place, I was always training somebody. So came out here and I started training some of the young athletes around here out of Homestead Fitness Center. Mm-hmm. And I was doing CrossFit myself for my own training in Bellingham at Jogo, and less than a year later I started making the plans to open up a gym here,
because Lyndon didn't have a CrossFit gym.
Lyndon did not have one. There wasn't one out here. You asked what made me,
which is good. No, this is good.
It's the same answer as earlier. I just, like, you know, the methodology, I loved it, it worked, it kicked my butt. And it challenged me. Maybe something I left out earlier. I was doing it to compete too at first. Mm-hmm. I love competing in it, which now that has changed. Mm-hmm. I'm doing it for longevity. I'm using it to be able to firefight.
Yeah.
Because I do that.
Which is a change. I mean, when you first started, we're sitting upstairs near the place you slept on a mattress back in the day. I remember. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know what number or member I was. It had to be up there pretty high.
No, probably in the our first 10 members, right?
Yeah.
10, 20, whatever it was. I just remember, you know, we're sitting at the gym. It's grown. We're in a space that I don't think you had originally, maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, no. It's come a long ways. And your life's changed. You know, you came here as a single dude, sleeping upstairs, coaching all day. You know, et cetera.
And yeah, the schedule's changed a lot.
And you're a firefighter at
Seattle Fire Department.
Yeah, Seattle. And you've been doing that how long?
6 years.
A little over 6 years.
Yeah. And so it's longevity for not competing, but life.
Yeah.
Well, some people think that Matt and I opened the gym together but it was, I hadn't met Matt at the point. I didn't meet Matt till I was looking for a place to drop in and do my first open workout of 2013.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was just training in a different place. I couldn't drop a barbell.
Yeah.
And so I dropped in.
Couldn't drop a barbell. Yeah. Yeah. Let's tell everybody the story.
Yeah.
Well, the story, so I called up and I was like, hey, I had made regionals before. And so I definitely knew what I was doing. and I called to drop in, and it was a snatch and burpee ladder. I don't know if you remember the snatch burpee ladder 13.1.
Yep.
And I came here, I met Matt, and we, you know, he's like, hey, you know, like, make sure you don't drop the empty barbell, because it was a very light load to start for women. It was 45 pounds. So we had fives on the 35, and it laddered up to like 125 or whatever it was. And I was like, oh, so you, this guy thinks I just like literally have no idea what I'm doing. Okay, I will drop the empty barbell. And so we went in the same heat, and I was like, I'm just going to beat that guy who told me not to drop the empty barbell. And I did by one rep. And that's how Matt and I met.
I will tell the listeners that you don't have the context of what I recall. If he were to say that, thinking back to you at that age.
I was like, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Breaking the heat.
A little feisty. All right. It's good. Well,
It is funny. But when you think back, though, to that time frame, that never occurred to people. You know, dropping barbells happened all over the place. You saw, you know, I remember looking at videos. And so the idea to never drop a barbell.
Empty barbell.
Empty barbell.
Yeah, empty. I should recall it was an empty one. Yeah.
But even with like five pound plates on it, still. Yeah.
And my reasoning was because it had happened a few times. And I'm looking at all my new equipment. I should have known by looking at her, though, and talking to her.
That you owe money, a lot of money.
Yeah.
Here you are opening a business, exactly. And you've got a lot of investment.
But it just made me laugh.
Let's put it this way. Your members are not sleeping on a mat upstairs.
No, I was all in. All my eggs. Yeah.
In the CrossFit I Love It basket.
And it's funny, you know, as I think about it, when I see Katie Viss and Zach. You know, I remember he was one of the first athletes you trained at Homestead back in the day.
Yeah.
And it's come full circle. Now they got two kids. And it's like, man, you're almost like a grandpa of CrossFit around here.
some grandkids.
Look at it and go, you know, because that's what's so funny about this is those who are just young fire eaters in high school, and yet, you know, they've returned back or are still involved in it.
Married, have children.
It's just really funny how that works. So you didn't open the affiliate.
I did not. Yep.
But the question would be for you. I'm going to start with you because Matt's always said you kind of run the gym.
At this point now.
Together because of firefighting and such. So for the members, what's the hardest part about running CrossFit I Love?
Ooh, the hardest part. Oh boy.
And it's okay. They need to hear it. Like if
I don't know. I would say the hardest
part. Or just affiliate people in general.
Hardest part is getting new members always. Yeah. I feel like it's getting new members. Mm. We rely heavily on our current members and word of mouth. This is a weird thing to like advertise for and that kind of stuff. And it's not, you're also looking for the right members, the right kind of person who really wants to just come in and better themselves.
Yeah.
And even if it's like they want to better themselves as a significant other or as a person at their work, like doing things like this can help with that outside the gym. Like it trickles over. So sometimes it's kind of hard to, you know, cast your net out and your reach. I would say that's the most challenging.
So I'll give you the easy one then. What's the best part about running the affiliate?
Oh man. There's so many things, actually, but I would say it's just the connections you make with people. Mm. And whether that's, you know, with CrossFit and helping them achieve something that's been a goal, it always trickles to, you know, outside their life, outside the gym, too. We get to know people beyond, obviously, just out there, and you get to see their work in here, you know, give them success in other places in their life, and that's obviously really
but you got, I mean, you guys got married, and there was like such a section of people, CrossFit people, that were at your wedding or didn't Mikey Sarp officiate?
Yeah,
Mikey was a CrossFit member here.
Yeah, we had a really small wedding, but we had a reception back here, at the gym, actually, and one of our members at the time, one of our coaches at the time, actually married us, Mikey. And then Matt actually last year married, well, no, yeah, it was a year, married two of our coaches, Erica and JT, who you've had on the podcast. Mitch married some of our members, Allie and Creed. So it's just like we've had
Talk about building a culture.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got all these. That's the really interesting part I see is, you know, and again, personally for me, there's been marriages. There's been babies.
Yeah.
There's been deaths.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, people who are, you know, carrying that heavy load of that, the joy of stuff. And yet the one common theme, especially for me, is the gym. So what had happened for me coming up on a year next month, get a call watching quarterfinals for a couple of the athletes. JT's actually just working out when I get the call about my son passing away. Mm-hmm. And the first call is, what do I do? At that point, I was weightlifting. Well, the first thought was come back to, and you reached out and said, come back to the gym. And to me, that's the more than just the workout. It's that community, that aspect that is people there for you beyond just the heavy hitting, fire breathing, et cetera, that it's more to life than just the workout. So, and there's lots of communities. That's why I would say definitely, I call it the little gym that can, because it's more than that for, you know, and the connection with you guys with that. So, yeah. So anyway, and there you have it. Part one of two with my interview with Matt and Kaylee Lovelady. I hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I know that you're going to really enjoy part two and the further places that we are able to go and delve into in their life, their fitness, their gym, just philosophy of CrossFit methodology and so forth in general. So thank you so much. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe, like, share with your friends and family, and be sure to be on the lookout for part two of my interview with them. If you haven't, go back and listen to the previous episodes. I'm going to be doing more individual episodes, not just interview, but it really helps me to further kind of get in the algorithm of followers and so forth. Those who should listen to it will, but if you could help me in any way sharing it, that would be awesome. We'd really appreciate that. So part two will be coming out. In the meantime, congratulations to everyone who completed the CrossFit Open. Regardless of what your scores were or standings, congratulations on making the commitment, putting in the effort, putting in the time, and completing it. This was my 11th CrossFit Open. I'm proud of the work I did. Certainly, there are areas where I wish I'd have done a little bit better, but that's why I have a whole year to work on my weaknesses and get ready for the CrossFit Open 2025. Also, just want to say thank you to everyone who has been encouraging as far as the podcast and so forth. I'm really trying to get ready to grow this out and really make it take off. I've been doing a lot of planning and prepping. Thank you so much to my guests in the past, Carissa Stapp. Congratulations on qualifying for another CrossFit quarterfinals and your great finish in the Open this year. Also, Jason Marlowe, just love seeing him every time at the gym, and fantastic interview with him. My interview with JT and Erica Thompson that you heard last, which congratulations to them for completing the Chuckanut 50K Ultra Run. Erica's second time, and we talk about that in the interview, the first experience that she had with it. Well, this is their second time, and so time has passed quickly, and so congratulations to them. Again, thanks so much to Matt and Kaylee Lovelady for taking the time to sit down with me, and again, hope you enjoyed that. This is Conversations with Craigle, and look forward to being with you again to share with you part two of my interview. In the meantime, take care of yourself, take care of others, be kind in every opportunity that you have, And I'll look forward to seeing you again on the podcast. Take care, everybody.